That is the greatest story of all. If you have your Bibles, would you turn again with me to Psalm number 9, please? The ninth psalm. Now, there's going to be a lot of scripture, so do your best to keep up. If you can't keep up, and I move pretty fast, why, just jot the scripture down. You can look at it a little bit later. Psalm number 9. That's on page number 603. 603 in your Scofield Bible. It seems to me that almost the entire world today hates the United States of America. They want to destroy us and wipe us off the face of the earth. Iran, North Korea, Syria, and other countries say they now have the ability to do just that. Does the Bible say anything about the United States of America? Will we be destroyed? Will we cease to exist? I want to talk just a little bit about that this morning. Look in Psalm 9 and verse number 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, we thank you for this great service with the good music and the good fellowship. And now we come down to the most important part of any service, and that's the preaching of your word. And I pray for these next few minutes, you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray you'll give me the attention of all the folks that are here. I pray they might keep their minds from wandering on activities they may have planned later on and concentrate on the preaching of your word. Save those who may be lost, reclaim those who are backslidden, and do a work in each one of our hearts, beginning with this preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. God has shed his grace upon America, but the question is, will he continue to do so? Does the scripture say anything about America and where we stand in prophecy? There are a number of chapters within the pages of God's word that seem to picture the United States of America. Now, I cannot be dogmatic and say the facts that we're going to look at this morning are speaking of America. The United States of America is not mentioned by name in the Bible. However, it's equally true that America must be included in different prophecies that includes all nations. Look at our text again this morning. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations of which America is included. Now go over to Micah chapter number 5, towards the end of the Old Testament. As I said, we're going to look at a lot of scripture, so be prepared. Micah chapter 5, that'll be on page 949. Micah chapter 5, and look with me at verse number 15. God is speaking, and he says in verse 15, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen. Better word for heathen there is nations. Upon the nations such as they have not heard. And then a few pages back to your left to Ezekiel chapter 39, page 885. Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse number 21. And I will set my glory among the heathen. There again, the word is nations. And all the heathen or nations shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. Now, the main reason that America is not mentioned in Scripture is obviously because the nation was not in existence when the prophecies were written. If we study some of the characteristics and traits of some nations, it appears that America meets those characteristics and traits. America could possibly be the political Babylon that's mentioned in Scripture. God's word mentions three Babylons. Number one, a city in Genesis 11. Number two, a church in Revelation 17. And number three, a country in Revelation 18. Now go with me, please, in your Bibles to Isaiah 18, page 729. Isaiah, the 18th chapter. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 18, page 729. Verse 1. Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, Go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. The nation described in these verses is in dire difficulty with God because of the opening word is judgmental. God says, woe, and the term always connotates judgment. I want you to notice here, this nation has the insignia of wings, similar to our national emblem, the bald eagle with extended wings. The nation is a land beyond the sea. Israel is always the focal point in the Bible. So the message of warning is directed to a far country, beyond Ethiopia, and across the sea from Israel. This designation eliminates Europe, Asia, and Africa. Instead, it is directed to a nation with outstretched wings across the sea from Israel, and America qualifies. It is a land that is scattered and peeled. Scattered means widely spread out or having great land areas. It's a land that is measured. This certainly describes our beloved country with its counties and cities and states. If you've ever looked down from an airplane, as I have oftentimes, I like to get to the window and look down, you'd see how our land is measured and marked. It's a land whose rivers are spoiled. Isaiah simply tells us that dreadful judgment will come upon a nation with outstretched wings beyond the seas of Israel, a nation that has vast measured land and areas and polluted waters. This could well be the United States of America. Jeremiah also pinpoints America's characteristics in even greater detail. Go with me now to Jeremiah chapter 30, please. Jeremiah chapter 30, page 805. Jeremiah chapter 30, and look with me at verse number 11. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 11, page 804. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I made a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. God says, O Israel, because of your sins I have scattered you among the nations of the world, and I'm going to destroy those nations that have forgotten about me, and I'm going to also punish you. This country's mother is sorely confounded. There in Jeremiah, go over to the 50th chapter. To your right, just a few pages, to Jeremiah chapter 50. That's on page 828, Jeremiah 50. And look at verse number 12. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 12. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. This country's mother is confounded. Britain is the modern-day mother of America. America celebrated its bicentennial July the 4th, 1976, but we are still a teenager compared to the other nations of the world. This country is an end-time country, for she exists when Israel is back in her land. Look in the 50th chapter of Jeremiah and verse number 19. And I will bring Israel again to its habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Ephraim and Gilead. This happened in May of 1948. Now turn with me to the last book of the Bible, which is Revelation and the 17th chapter. Revelation, last book in the Bible, the 17th chapter, and verse number, page number 1346. 1346. In Revelation chapter 17, John deals with religious Babylon located on the seven hills of Rome. Look with me in Revelation 17 and verse number 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Many Bible scholars believe this religious Babylon is the Roman Catholic Church. Then Revelation 18 deals with political Babylon, which could well be America. Notice some reasons why. Look in the 18th chapter and verse number 3, Revelation 18 and verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. John depicts a man through whom the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies or luxuries. It is a nation that hath glorified herself. Look in verse number 7 of Revelation chapter 18. Verse number 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. If that doesn't describe America, then I don't know what does. We spend $173 billion annually for food, alcohol, tobacco, recreation, and gambling. We are truly living high on the hog. The present enjoyment, however, is not going to last forever. The destruction of America could strike like lightning if we do not have a Holy Ghost, old-fashioned revival and have it soon. We could become the brutalized, battered, and beaten Babylon found in the following text. Keeping your finger there in place in Revelation, if you can, go back to Jeremiah again. Jeremiah and the 50th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 50. And I want us to look at verse number 9. Jeremiah 50 and verse 9, page 828. Verse number 827. Verse number 9. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. And they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. Now back to Revelation again and the 18th chapter. I hope you kept something there. Revelation 18, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 16. Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 16. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried and weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Today, a devastating nuclear attack could in 1 hour's time obliterate everything it took our nation to build in 2 centuries. Does God have America in mind in these verses that we've looked at? Well, only God knows for sure. The British historian Arnold Toynbee stated that of the 21 civilizations throughout world history, 19 fell through atheism, which is becoming more popular every day, alcoholism, materialism, and socialism. And America is becoming a socialist country. The handwriting is on the wall. America, wake up, wake up. Our decline is so evident in the past few years. One of the best-selling books was written by an atheist entitled, God is Not a Great God. Several months ago, I saw Sean Hannity of Fox News interview him. He looks like a creep. He was a very unhappy man. One day he's going to die. They're going to dress him all up, and he'll have no place to go. I'm proud of the state of Texas. They are trying to pass a bill that would allow the study of the Bible and creation along with the study of evolution, which most schools have to teach. Our country has been defiled morally. We spend $3.5 million an hour on alcohol. According to the federal government's National Institute, by the time students reach the 12th grade, 50% drink regularly and 25% have been drunk. The defilement of our country extends into the sexual area as well. One prominent doctor said, "The sex revolution is over and sex has won." Sexual experimentation is now occurring in kids 9 and 10 years of age. Some 9-year-old kids recently raped repeatedly another 9-year-old. In our own area, we've read in the news or heard on the news where 3 14-year-old boys sexually assaulted a 13-year-old girl, and they're all a part of a Christian school. Today, if a girl is a virgin at 17, she's made to feel like she's in need of therapy. That was not true 30 years ago. And living together without marriage is okay today. Everybody expects it. It's fine. It's dandy. It's accepted. It's still wrong, and it's still wicked, and it's still sinful. We have been brainwashed through television and the movies, and yet Christians continue to pour money into both of them. Violence, cursing, and sex on television no longer bothers us. In fact, we just enjoy it like the unsaved do. In a recent survey, they found that 35% of all girls between the ages of 15 and 19 have had sexual intercourse. Exodus 20 and verse 14 is still in my Bible, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Now turn again to your last book in the Bible, the last chapter in the Bible, the 22nd chapter of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 22, last chapter in the Bible, last chapter, last book. Verse number 15. "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Can America sink any lower? Wicked, satanically controllers of smut, the publishers, the printers, and the sellers of pornography are the guilty culprits behind this filth. And it's sad when one of our political parties says it's okay to marry whoever you love, even including same sex. And if you don't like that, if you love your dog, you can marry your dog. Turn with me back again to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, please. Page number 1192, Romans chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 25 of Romans chapter 1. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense for their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And then we murder over 1 million babies every year in our country. And what we're doing to our precious Lord and Savior is despicable. A group of British Protestant theologians have decided that Jesus should be regarded as a great teacher, but not a supernatural miracle worker. In a book published a few years ago, The Myth of God Incarnate, the 7 theologians argued that Jesus was God not in human form, but he was just a man, not God, but just a man. The author states that Jesus did not claim to be divine, but was promoted to divinity by early Christians who were still under pagan influences. What blasphemy! What they're doing to our Lord and Savior is terrible. Bill O'Reilly, most of you probably have watched him on Fox News from time to time, wrote best-selling books, is still bestsellers, The Killing of Lincoln, which I have read, and The Killing of Kennedy. He has now announced he's coming out with a new book, and it's entitled Killing Jesus. Mr. O'Reilly, you better not tamper with God's word. Better not tamper with it. Better be careful. Our pulpits today are full of hypocrites who said they once believed in the fundamentals of the faith, but as years went by, they got smart and they denied their former beliefs. Mr. Riley says that all of the Old Testament is allegory. In other words, it never did happen. It's just stories. None of the Old Testament ever happened. Jesus thought so. He said about Noah in the days that are going to come back again, just like the days of Noah were, we're going to have them repeated. Jesus talked about a lot of things. He talked about many things that prove he believed in the Old Testament. And I do too. And you should not tamper with the Word of God. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, towards the end of the New Testament. Page number 1318. 1318. 2 Peter 2. Look at verse number 1. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring up on themselves swift destruction. I want you folks to know this morning that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. Look at 1 Timothy, back to your left from where you are in 2 Peter, to 1 Timothy. Chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, page 1276, and look at verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, the Lord Jesus, was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Every precious doctrine held by Christians throughout the centuries is being attacked today by ministerial antichrists. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all of the nations that don't love our Lord. Now, it may be too late to save America nationally, but we can, as individuals, prepare to meet the Lord. How? There's only one way. Christ shed his precious blood on the cross for the remission of mankind's sins. He died for you. He died for your sins. He shed his blood for you. And if you have never have done so, why don't you call upon his name this morning and get it settled? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our teacher, the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are working out your plan as we near the end of this age and the return of Christ. Help us to stay true to your word. Help us to not deny it. Help us to follow it, live by it, and love it, and tell it to others. I pray you'd bless the invitation. If there's one here that doesn't know Christ and not sure of it, they'll make that decision today. Maybe others need to make different decisions. I pray that the Holy Spirit will direct them in doing so. I pray you bless the invitation as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.